Living and Dying with Honor Bible Study Lesson Number 96, which is also Obedience to God, Our Man Special Bible Study Lesson Number 8, October the 29th, 2009. See if my voice has another hour teaching in it this morning. Alright, we had finished up on the laws of the land establishment. For temporal living, if you remember, the doctrine of the human soul. This brought us to the doctrine of personality before we move in to the law of individuality. It is important to understand, before we start using volition and responsibility, privacy, property rights, accountability, to understand who we are. The personality of what we have. Personality is related to the human soul and body. I don't apologize for taking time off to teach this in detail, because one of the key things we're going to have to deal with is going to be where government legitimately fits in to establishment law. Government cannot override creation law. It doesn't have the power to override creation law. It can attempt to do so, and man is attempting to do it all the time. But man is failing all the time. It has no right to override marriage and family law, though it does, through the arrogance of man and humanism. Before we get us, Paul, for solid prayer, give you time to make sure you're on the front spirit of after the objectivity to the Word of God, shall we pray? Thank you for further teaching your word, for your word is absolute truth. We claim your promise. Your word will not return to the will accomplish which you designed it for. We ask you to sanctify and bless the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So come, Lord Jesus. Amen. But let me remind you that under God's physical laws, physical biological law, God has set up a system. The threefold nature of man, of the believer, twofold nature in the unbeliever, threefold in the man. Nature of corruption is the destroyer of the soul, was not designed by God, but is there under the curse. Comes through the inherent sin of Adam. Alright, the human body, the soma, S-O-M-A, carnal man, physical body, provides the gates to the soul. Sight, which is the eye gate, smell, which is the nose gate, hearing, which is the ear gate, taste, which is the mouth gate, and touch, which is the feel gate. Inside the soul, we have self-consciousness, which is our awareness of who and what we are. We have conscience. We're aware of those around us and things around us. We have mentality, the ability to reason. We have affections, which we are drawn, and we have emotions to which we respond. We have volition, the right to choose, and we have imagination. We can conceive things beyond which reality says is there. The memory center opens the door to the human spirit through the filling of the spirit when we're saved by the word of God. Bible doctrine gives us spiritual insight inside the human spirit. We have the sense faculties of faith, hope, reverence, prayer, and worship. But those are reserved for the human spirit. And we're dealing with the laws of divine establishment for temporal living, of which the spiritual part is to override the temporal, but temporal laws for both believers and unbelievers alike. We're down to, when we look at the doctrine of personality, that emulation is a form of a trace in the soul rather than mentality. Look at Romans 14, 22. Before God, after he does not condemn himself and what he approves. Neil Marcus Standard Translation. Now, the background for this is found when we were at the end of the last class and ran out of time. Under point 10 we gave you, true happiness will manifest itself in personality, both through restraint and expression of personality traits. The mentality is used to control. We try to restrain those that might be offensive to some and manifest those which are not offensive. We try to Romans 14, the happiness is not expressing personality traits, eating, meat, and drinking wine, but the word of God by the doctrine and the mentality. You must have doctrine resident in the soul. You must study, learn, understand, believe, and metabolize doctrine. That is, evaluate it at the proper pace. In the soul. Human drinking is reflected through personality traits at a time when it's wrong to manifest a personality trait on the live live. We gave you that. We didn't look up the scriptures on Romans 14, 16 to 21, but we need to read them to get the context for where we're at. Therefore, do not let what is for you a good thing be spoken of as evil, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. But only when the very soul of Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So let us pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of the Lord. Do not tear down the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are clean, but they are evil for the man who eats and gives offense. It is good not to eat meat or to drink wine or do anything by which your brother stumbles. We have to choose really what to do that. Now, let's look at the doctrine of personality emulation as a form of traits within the soul, rather than mentality within the soul. Romans 14, 22. The faith which you have is your own conviction before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. Faith and conviction are standard in regard to these matters. Every believer should have norms and standards, but you should see that they are used to help others in their Christian growth and never hinder them. Romans 15, 2, that each of us praise his neighbor for his good to his edification. All right, point one, to pursue traits as if they were essential to happiness. To pursue traits as if they were essential to happiness, such as I was more introvertish, I could be happier. If I was more of an extrovert, I could be happy. To pursue a personality which you do not have because you become trait conscious. And you want to be like someone else in their personality expression. Do you reject your own personality? Imitating people. I remember many years ago I was accused of trying to imitate the personality of a certain pastor. Because I was not a Dioscalos. I told my teachers what that means, by the way, and I says, no. I got my own personality. I'm not trying to imitate him. My dogmatic style of teaching was there. And dogmatism was saying that I was doing evangelistic work even before I was involved in teaching. I wasn't sure whether my spiritual gift was evangelism or Bible teaching. To pursue a personality which you do not have because you are trait conscious. And possibly you want to be like someone else in their personality expression. A sub 1, A sub 1, B, you reject your own personality. Three, to be critical of your own personality. You try to adopt another one's personality but this is nothing futility. B, we have the personality that God the Father designed for us. Four, personality emulation occurs when a person becomes over-pessimistic toward his own personality. Look at Job 38:22. Have you entered the storehouses of snow? Have you seen the storehouse of the hail? Verses 22-30 deal with the issue that Job can understand even such common things as snow, hail, wind, rain, lightning, frost, and ice. Alright, so point A. We need to learn the lesson of the snowflake. B, no two snowflakes are the same. C, we do understand that the true personality is a sign of eternal wealth. That doesn't mean that we can't. See, we're dealing with a personality that should be controlled as a believer by the Spirit, human Spirit, guided by the Holy Spirit. So we don't try not to be an obnoxious person all the time. We're not talking about sin influencing the personality. We're talking about being who God designed us, the Father designed us to be. Alright, the doctrine of pride of personality. The doctrine of pride of personality. One, pride of personality is a sin of rejecting the truth of Bible doctrine as a guideline for personality expression. Pride of personality is a sin of rejecting truth as a guideline for personality expression and to be overtly critical. Because of obsessions with pessimism toward others, Psalm 10:4. The wicked, in the hardness of his callous, does not seek him. All his thoughts are, there is no God. To criticize the personality traits of others. Two, it means to criticize the personality traits of others. Three, pride of personality occurs when a person becomes over pessimistic toward the personality of someone else. Four, obsession with pessimism takes the attitude too far. Five, there's no true wisdom in his statements, even though the statements may be true because they lack the balance of doctrinal love, inner happiness, and spiritual peace. His other personality gets to you and rubs you the wrong way. You let it rub into you. You lose the feeling of the Spirit. You don't have love toward that person. Inner happiness. Spiritual peace. You can't be long-suffering toward their personality. You do not exercise kindness in responding to them and their personality and goodness in initiating them, which demonstrates the fact you are not faithful toward Bible doctrine because you lack meekness and temperance. Generally, humanity in the soul. Six. Pride of personality causes people to appear to always know why something happens without any facts to support it. I've got a friend of mine, and I cringe when they call me. Oh, I know, he's getting up to 90 years now. He was upper 70s. I'm mourning for well over 40 years. He's hypercritical of everything. All churches, he never finds the right church. He's always visiting churches. He does the work of evangelism. He's got evangelistic outreach abilities. Has for years been concerned for souls lost. But he's always critical of the churches, pastors. He calls up and he's just a sign of negativism. He's a man that prays for us every day. Well, I judge him, it's just a hard time sometimes listening to him. I get depressed if I listen to him too long. We have grace, I have to reach out to him, let the Lord do things. We have different personalities, but we're supposed to respond to other people through the filling of the Spirit, the application of Bible doctrine, resident soap. We'll maintain our spiritual peace under any and all circumstances. Right now, the triune God, he has a personality. So the doctrine of the triune God, he has personality, Psalm 44, 1 to 3. God, we heard with our ears, our fathers have told us thy work that thou didst in their days and the days of old. Thou with thy own hand didst drive out the nations, thou that didst plant them, thou didst afflict the people, thou didst spread them abroad. For thy own sword they did not possess the land, and thine arm did not serve them, but thy right hand and thine arm, and thy right of thy presence, for thou didst favor them. That's the sign of Basil Emmet. The Father's past carefulness discriminates the praise in verses 1 to 3. Confidence is revealed in verses 4 to 8. The people have, as they bow before the eye, their present defeat in verses 9 to 16. Their petition from 11, verses 17 to 26. For the choir directors from Mosque Hill with the sons of Korah. The mosque here means a contemplative or a didactic poem. The sons of Korah, as we have pointed out to you in times past, were singers of the temple choir. Alright, the doctrine of the triune God in personality. Point one. The titles Father, Son, and Spirit relate to different functions. The Father, Son, and Spirit relate to different functions within the triune Godhead. Two. Each member of the Godhead has the freedom to perform their functions without guidelines. Within guidelines. Alright, let's look more carefully at Psalm 44:1 then. We have heard with our ears, O God. This means we've been taught by our parents and by our teachers. Our fathers, that is our past, our family heritage, have told us to write it down, preserve it, and then to teach from generation to generation. What work are you doing in their day? That's to deliver us from Egypt and bring them into Canaan. The days of old and ancient times, the beginning of Israel's history as a nation, with a constitution. Have we found to do in this country is teach our children history. and teach our children what God has done. Sixty-4 years. After peace was brought, the end of World War II, the surrender of the Japanese. The price of freedom there has been lost. The concepts of turning to God and what we had have been lost. Under a secular humanistic governmental teaching system of evolution, denying the creation, God of creation in there, and denying divine creation and the laws of creation, we have distorted all of the laws of the divine establishment for temporal living, and brought our nation to the place where it is today under divine judgment from God. But yet in the blindness of our people, we do not see that. As we worship and recognize the pagan gods, and are moving fast toward making it a crime to teach that there is only one God, and only one way of redemption. Psalm 42:2 says, "You drove out the nations, even the Gentile Canaanites, with your hand, with your power and ability." It was your power that gave Israel a home by ruling out. The Hebrew word Yarash, I-R-E-S-H, means to take possession of land from previous tenants to disposed heathen. By rooting out the people. But Israel, you planted them. You put Israel in the place of those whom you disinherited. It's what he did with this country. The same pattern is seen in the United States of America, which became a crown nation to God, just as Israel was a priest nation. Psalm 44:3, "For though Israel received not the possession of the land Canaan by their own sword," it was not Joshua's army that was responsible for the conquest of Canaan. "The land is the land of grass and of both leases on the planet." You understand this? Jehovah is the Lord who grants and revokes the leases on the planet. "Our military is helpless unless the will of God is in agreement. George Washington believed in Jesus Christ. Many of our founding fathers did. Franklin and Jefferson were, to a certain extent, deist. But the problem is, at one point, they left words and things that encouraged us that they were born again. At other places, they left things that showed that they had lack of doctrine, and Jefferson sees even blasphemous things at the end. But that doesn't mean he was or was not saved. God knows, not me. We'll find out in the eternity future if Tom Jefferson is there or not. He got involved in humanism and became under the influence of humanism and did what many believers have done. Became brainwashed into a false system, bought the lies that come out of the spirit of Antichrist, humanism, and lost sight and track of the truth of the Word of God. A sad situation. Yet, it was Franklin who said we need to pray when we were trying to write a constitution. Others of our founding fathers, Patrick Henry, knew a lot of Bible doctrine. Washington knew less, but was definitely a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. As the best we can, and we know Patrick Henry was, James Madison, and the rest of them. Neither did their arm save them, means the arm relates to physical and mental stability in conflict and the strength necessary to overcome the enemy. Verse 44:3 says, "But your right hand, but thy right hand and thy arm and thy light of thy presence." The right hand expresses agency. The right hand indicates the Father's work is done through the agency of Jesus Christ, angels and men. Stretch out the right hand means to close off grace to one group of people, the Canaanites, here and provide victory for another. Your arm refers to the source of power based on righteous justice. The most God can do for us is a situation nothing held back. Light of your countenance, we have Pana again, PANEH, the face is representing a personality, plus OWR, for light. Light represents prosperity, cheerfulness, favor. God gave them victory. God saw them through. The Father carried them all. In the dark days after Pearl Harbor, when Americans got out on their knees and prayed and sought God, God had mercy upon them. Gave America victory. Despite our losses at Pearl Harbor, despite the conquest of the Philippines, the loss of the islands of the Pacific, but it cost a lot of blood, a lot of tears, and a lot of people died in combat to preserve our freedom. We've lost all that. We've used a humanistic system to move into government principles and government policies, and some of the very policies that we fought against in World War II, and we don't even see it. We're blinded. Start new. It didn't just start with the current administration's commercials. It's been building and going on as our spiritual pivot struck. All right, let's take a little summary of point one. God is in all of Israel and the author of their prosperity. Isaiah 60:1-3. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Verse 3, and the nations will come to your light, and the kings the brightness of your rising. 14, the light of this countenance refers to fervor, which he views Israel with, and the answer of the way in which he manifests that favor. The light of this countenance refers to fervor, which he views Israel with and relates to the way in which he manifests that favor. This is a reflection of God's personality. Two, the Son's personality is manifest in things he does and plans. Point out, he executes. The Father plans according to his essence. His personality is manifest and executes to his plan and to the plan itself. So the Son is the agent of the Father, and his personality is also seen. The essence has man and standards, but each man and standard is flexibility, and function. Essence has man and standards, but at least man and standard is flexibility and function. Third, the Son demonstrates favor to Israel by giving them land already possessed by the Canaanites. So apparently he could have done other things, but he wanted to do it this way. Then the whole Abrahamic covenant relates to the plan of the Father and displays the Father's personality. C. He gives Israel the land. By taking it. From the Canaanites. The Canaanites were in spiritual reversionism. They were also an evil nation that God chose to remove, an evil people. Point five. While the triune Godhead, the Trinity, shares common essence, there is a freedom within the Trinity. The liberty of each person to demonstrate personality. And this is a major issue in the Garden of Gethsemane prayer of Jesus Christ. B. He gives up his freedom of personality manifestation by yielding to the Father's request. Not my will, thine be done. See, the Father planned the path to the cross, and the essence factor of the triune Godhead is in total agreement. B. However, there was that moment in time when the human personality of the Lord Jesus Christ is subject to the personality demands of another, God the Father, and rules under thy love. Ace. The person of Jesus Christ had to deal with the issue of personality. Matthew 26:39b. If it be possible, let this cup, the cross, pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as I will. This human personality must agree to submit to pain, rebuke, name calling without retaliation, without expressing the basic desires of personality. There is no other way to redeem the world except the cross, going to the cross, the blood work of Christ on the cross. It is the will of Jesus. His essence has already agreed to it. There is also there a human personality which has certain traits and which came from Mary's genes. Essence was always already in agreement. The issue is personality agreeing. This means to accomplish the ends. The personality must commit to the end. There was a cross before him here, but the potentiality that he might have bled to death in the Garden of Gethsemane that night and never made it to the cross. Christ had to deal with the issue. Samuel 4:6. The light of God, the Son's countenance, was one of the reasons Israel possessed the land. Principle, the happiness of the fathers expressed through his personality as revealed in the Son. John 1:18 says, we beheld his glory, of 1:14, we beheld his glory, the glory of the Lord, the God of the Father, with grace and truth. Verse 7, the Father gave Israel the light of Cana for two reasons, according to Deuteronomy 9:1-6. Here, Israel, you are crossing over the Jordan today to go to the spoils, nations greater and mightier than you, great cities fortified to heaven, a people grim and tall, the sons of Anak, and whom you know and of whom you have heard it said, who can stand before the sons of Anak? Now therefore today, that it is the Lord your God, sorry, my page is bent forward just a little bit. Now therefore today, that it is the Lord your God who has crossed over before you as a consuming fire. He will destroy them and he will subdue them before you so that you may drive them out quickly, just as the Lord has spoken to you. Do not say in your heart, when the Lord your God has given them out before you, because of my righteousness the Lord has brought me to possess this land, it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is disposing them before you. It is not for your righteousness or for the unrighteousness, or for the uprighteousness of your heart that you are going to possess the land, but it is because of the wickedness of those nations that the Lord your God is driving them out before you in order to confirm the oath which the Lord swore to your father, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. No, then it is because of your righteousness that the Lord, not because of your righteousness that the Lord your God is giving you this good land you possess, for you are a stubborn people. Stubborn now represents one who refuses to submit to the yoke. Now, God gave Israel the land in for two reasons. A, Israel is used to discipline the Canaanites. This is the essence of the judgment of God regarding his personality. B, for the Son's happiness, he desires to establish a desire. You see, he chose Israel. For the Son's happiness, he desired to establish a theocracy, he chose Israel. So, in choosing Israel, he was manifesting his personality. D, once the promise was made to Abraham, it will be kept because of his essence of faithfulness. But the establishment of the nation and the way it was established was representative of the Son's personality also. 8, where the Holy Spirit has his own personality and traits, he submits to those of the Father if they pass a new way. Or they never would. Because God is one in unity. This is infinite knowledge being brought into the finite world, so hard to explain, but must be understood. Psalm 44:3. For by their own sword they did not possess the land, their own arm did not save them, but the right hand and thine arm, and the light of thy presence, for thou didst favor them. Because you, the Son Jehovah, were favorable and did not delight in them. And those who God did not delight in them because they were great, simply because it is part of his own personality affinity to do so. Grace never responds, or initiates, I'm sorry, to merit. Grace never initiates to merit. We're saved by non-meritorious faith. The faith is not of ourselves, it is the faith of God provides. No value for us. Faith is a transitive verb, and its value must be found in the object of its faith for salvation. The person of our Lord Jesus Christ and his blood work on the cross is revealed in the gospel. For Christian living is Bible doctrine through the filling of the Spirit. Because you, the Son Jehovah, were favorable and did delight in it, in them. Delight in them because it was their personality. Now remember this principle. Father and grace made a covenant with Abraham. Because of Abraham's righteousness is accepting the grace of God for salvation. First of all, the Father was free to make a covenant with Abraham and make promises to Abraham or not make promises of blessings to Abraham. The Father freely chose to do so. Reflection of his personality. Number 9, the Son's personality is involved in blessing or the administration of grace prosperity. Psalm 89:15. I was afflicted and about to die for my youth on. I served, suffered the terrors. I'm sorry. That's 88, 89, 15. How blessed are the people who know the joyful sound, O Lord, they walk in the light of thy countenance. Blessed inner spiritual prosperity to the people who keep knowing the sound of the trumpet, military preparation and discipline. Subordinated to political office. That's more of a theocracy. How blessed are the people who know the joyful sound, the trumpet. The sound of the trumpet, military preparedness. They shall walk. The word walk, halak, H-A-L-A-K, means to advance, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. The blessings of being in God's favor and relate to the ways he blesses you, compatible to his essence and his personality. The way he blesses demonstrates his personality, thus his essence permits or decrees the blessing. Point A. The Father does things the way he does them, and the Son the way he does them, and the Spirit the way he does them, because of personality and control of essence. Meaning, the light of his countenance indicates that his essence is free to bless even beyond his promises if he desires. It is up to him. See, in the Father's plan, there is room for his personality to function, as well as for the personality of the Son and the personality of the Spirit. D, principle, I'm sorry. Since the Godhead has given mankind room for personality, you must accept the fact that there is a place for it within the triune Godhead. Because man was created in the image of God, and likeness of God. D. Essence to man's quality. Can't read my own notes here. Essence to man's qualify the creature for blessings. Essence to man's qualify the creature for blessing. But the Father's personality is involved in how the blessings are administered by the Son through the Spirit. In the same freedom of personality expression is given to the writers of Scripture and to the prophets. If they were told what to write, but given the freedom of how they said it through the control of the Spirit. Therefore their personality was not set aside any more than their vocabulary was set aside. Alright. Doctrine of the pastor teacher's personality. What you've been waiting for. Point one, the Father has not set aside the personality of the communicator of Bible doctrine. Or the student of Bible doctrine. But uses it as a test for those disciples who face him with doctrine. Ephesians 4:11b says, and he gave some pastor teacher, me and E. Pomenas katanaskalos, pastor hyphen teacher. The grand old shout, Greek word, course out. Should be a hyphen there with the letter chi and is used. Ephesians 4:12 was so purpose for the work of the perfecting of the saints. Cross, P-R-S, plus the accusative, face-to-face, or personality to personality, plus K-T-A-I-T-I-S-M-O-S. But that is must, to train and equip for combat, to prepare someone for something. Face-to-face training is the most effective. You will remember more than when you work face-to-face from a teacher. Today we're in the sharing business, and we allow sit around and share our ignorance, our stupidity. I've heard some stuff that made me want to puke, literally, for interpretations of Scripture taken so far out of contextual analysis is not even funny. I was exposed to a sermon recently, and the sermon was doctrinally pretty good. An exhortation sermon, it was doctrinally, it wasn't bad. The only problem was the verse that was used for context as a proof passage verse was taken totally out of the context of what it was a part and totally, and was used totally different from the way it was intended. Nor did I understand the Scripture related to it. Some of the actors, other verses were okay, but its text verse was totally incorrect. Based on the translation, he found the verse. Somebody's comments that led the pastor, left the pastor, and I was teaching, he'd have a gift that doesn't claim to be a pastor, just claims to be a teacher. Totally out of line. We've all made mistakes. We've all taken passages for proof texts that were not the right proof texts at times. Don't misunderstand me about judging the man between you and the Holy Spirit. We need to be prepared and teach. Their responsibility. All right. So apparently there's electrifying interchange between two people face to face that does not occur at other times. There's an electrical interchange. Electric interchange is something that happens as a reaction in people's personalities when people are face to face in a situation. I'm trying to use language of accommodation the best I can. That does not occur when you talk to someone on the telephone or listen to the teaching of the Word of God over the telephone or on television or on the radio or over a tape, DVD, CD, whatever it is. Hebrews 13:7 says, remember, when it's concentrated on, keep in mind the ones, that's the teacher shepherds, which have authority to guide you. H-E-G-E-O-N-A-I means to exercise authority as a guide, who has spoken to you the Word of God, whose faith follow. There's an active participle of that all. The real K-N-A-T-H-E-O-R-E-O. Which means to consider, investigate again and again, to give prior consideration objectively. Alright? Remember, the words which have the authority to guide, you have spoken the Word of God to you, whose faith follow. Be carefully considering the answers to life and the objectives of their way of thinking. The faith follower is a present middle imperative of M-I-M-E-O-M-A-I, which means to follow, imitate, or mimic their doctrine by making it yours. Let it be. Every believer is to study Bible doctrine. Under and with the gift, spiritual gift of pastor teacher. That's what Hebrews 13:7 is all about. A, the issue is to agree with the objectives of your pastor. B, methods are not the issue as long as they're not sin. C, the teacher must choose his own method of teaching. This is an issue of personality which was not become an issue between the student and the teacher. D, the mimic the doctrine of the pastor is analogous to accepting the words of the water master and taking you over the trail you haven't been over. Principle, the pastor never remembers to take you doctrinally, and you need to follow without criticism through the power of the Spirit. Thus, the Holy Spirit can make the doctrine run your soul. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we've talked that many times. Even the latter master has authority over those he leads. Well, the latter trained well on the side of the time to leave. Two, he has authority to remove certain wagons from the train in case of infectious disease. D, he decided when and where to kill. E, he could order executions. F, he could perform marriages. G, many deaths were caused in the history of the West when people chose to ignore the advice of the wagon master. Sub-1, Death Valley received its name because of a group of travelers decided to take a shortcut off the Santa Fe Trail against the wagon master's orders. Sub-2, many of them died. They perished in Death Valley. H, the challenge of this passage is not to get caught up in the teacher's personality. That is, the methods he uses to teach, but identify with the objectives, which are doctrinal reality. Personal methods of worship often change, but the objectives of worship never change. Now, principle, employ point I. Objective thinking becomes a test for the student of doctrine. Objective thinking becomes a test for the student of doctrine. The issue is not to get sidetracked by the personality of the teacher, which involves the method he uses to teach his point. So point A is the challenge. You should follow without complaint the methods of the pastor in developing, in the sound of every his message. Whereas delivering with you and without you is not the issue. a dry speaker or one who speaks, who sparkles is not an issue. I can't stand a pulpit and tell jokes, never could. I've been told I need to tell more jokes, I need to relax, I need to have more, build more rapport with the congregation. I'm there to teach the word of the living God. I'm not there to entertain people. I'm not a stand-up comic. But if somebody else has a personality wants to be a stand-up comic, that's between them and Jesus Christ. I'm not going to tell them how to teach. But I resent it when they tell me how to teach. People say the day of lecturing is over. You got to have feedback and rapport from the congregation. Now the congregation needs to understand their need to be filled with the Spirit and have objectivity to the teaching of the Word of God. Professors in universities, as far as I know, that are any good, still lecture. And there's a lot of group settings, let the people figure it out for themselves. Well, you can't figure out the Word of God from yourself that easy. You've got to build precept upon precept and line upon line, category upon category, doctrine upon doctrine. Some point too, the amount of time spent on a subject is a decision for the teacher. Principal personality does not vary. Some subjects will fall in interest a little faster more than others. Principal also has areas of doctrine in which he is more knowledgeable than others. Important for you to understand that. J. Once you understand the point, the teacher continues to teach it, there will be a tendency for them to move on. Subpoint 1. Watch out for the desire to move on when the wagon master says not yet. 2. This now becomes a personality issue, since if it were you teaching, you would probably move on. 3. The teacher does not send by them to stay on the subject a little longer, so you must concentrate on the objectives of the message. First of all, you must mentally stay on the subject as long as your teacher does. 4. Subpoint 4. To become irritated with the results, you stop paying attention to what is being said or become critical of what he says is a personal sin for the student. 5. They have failed the face-to-face test. First of all, to take over the classroom, if you're listening to a tape, you can fast forward it. Or the radio turned off for a while. Then you can have to react to face-to-face situation. It's a slow ball, or deal with it through doctrine, or get up and walk out and abandon it. Point K. The command to follow the doctor and teacher. Plus, the Greek word A-N-A-T-H-E-O-R-E-O means to give him the benefit of the doubt. See him as the one who has the freedom from God the Father to develop a point, using whatever example he chooses and using repetition as often as he chooses. Peter was a student of repetition. 2 Peter 1:12, therefore I shall always be ready to remind you of those things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you. In other places he also refers to it. Subpoint 1. Every believer as a student should be careful saying, if I were the pastor in charge of teaching, I wouldn't do it that way. Subpoint 2. You're not the pastor. The Father has not made you the pastor. It's easy to criticize someone in areas of authority. You do not have to share. Subpoint 3, if you wouldn't do it that way, are you so sure that your way is so much better as the Father's plan is concerned? See, it was a personality issue, which means that you did it in your way, and someone else could have the right to be critical of you. If you have the right to be critical of others. The issue is not the methods. We make the mistake in that. interaction face to face and carry the test for personality manifestation and can provide benefit. If the attack is right. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron. Iron, Barzell, B-A-R-Z-E-L, suffers, sharpens iron, Barzell. So that part of Kadad, the second, C-H-A-D-A-D, cost, it means the cost to be sharpened. As iron is sharpened as iron, so as iron sharpens, hit for iron of Kadad, C-H-A-D-A-D again, the callus, P-U-N-E-H, of his friend. Rather, the iron serves are sharpened for battle by iron files. Your personal receptive personality is brought face to face, can profit from working together, viewing each other with a distinctive character and appreciation the differences. And iron, a file, sharpens iron, a sword. They are both swords, but they are both iron. Alright, what do we mean by this then? The doctrine of iron, softening iron, face to face encounters. One personality differences can be the basis for benefit of a friendship or human relations. As iron is sharpened on iron, so man sharpens the personality of another. Two, personality differences can be the basis of development of real personality in others. You have to ask yourself, do you feel threatened by differences in opinion, in personality expressions, irritations? If so, it's because of sin. Or B, to place value in something that you would not personally choose. So, in the case of any irritation of differences in personality manifesting, will hinder your own and dulls are. Then, in the case of B, we can learn from each other if we respect personality differences. Clearly, fire is iron and a sword is iron. While they're both iron, they are different. And that difference has a value in it. The fire can sharpen or dull the sword. Four, to sharpen means the desire for the best and wish it success in the fear which the fire will not have. Five, to sharpen a man's personality means not to discourage it, but to place a value on it, even though I myself do not have the same affinities. Six, to sharpen a person's personality means that we can learn from our differences. Principle, the great lessons taught in creation, such as the variety in flowers, the animal kingdom, the fish world, the bird world, and the random geographical locations are our example. Creation history teaches us these things. Heaven declared a glory of God to follow his handiwork. But look around us at all that God has done to be upon this earth. Verse 7. The personality, like the face, has two sides to it which are not identically alike. Introvert traits, the traits found in the melancholy and phlegmatic categories, such as the affinity for pessimism, at times greater than others, not overly fond of games, likes to watch more than participate, trends toward goal orientation, perfection, seriousness, making great demands of himself and others, trend toward carrying grudges and supercritical and failure, like a child by the nature of corruption. Extrovert traits. The traits found in the cleric and the sanguine categories, such as affinity for optimism at times greater than others, great passion for competitive sports, would rather play than watch. Some trends toward goal orientation, but less towards perfection. This is a cheerful area where cheerfulness is more of a property of the sanguine trait, while goal orientation the cleric. Trend towards sloppiness and nonsense at times. Also keep in mind, each individual personality is made up of these two major traits. No person is true introvert or extrovert in totality. There's also one trait which relates to inborn goal areas. According to the test in 1948, the personality manifestation is linked to a cycle pattern that goes to extrovert, ambivert, and introvert periods of trait manifestation. Introduction to Psychology by Morgan Hill.